Once again, we come to the house of God here at Hebron for the worship of God on this Sabbath day. In these times of lockdown, it's a joy to be in God's house. It's good to have our sisters on the organ and piano and the media team helping out with the broadcast today. And it's good to have the congregation listening in. We know you're there even though physically you can't see us. And in these days when the work of God is difficult, we've just been emphasizing already the necessity of going forward with God. At the early time of prayer, we thought of that command that was given by the Lord to Moses and the children of Israel, go forward. And it seemed to be a very difficult thing for them to do at the time, as it is for us. But the work of God is going forward here at home and abroad. We're glad about that for the opportunities that the Lord has presented. We worship God today as we listen to a hymn, a pre-recorded hymn of the Hebron congregation. Number 50 in our hymn books, Great is Thy Faithfulness. I trust that the truth of this will grip your heart as you listen to it just now. Let's rise and sing.
Thank you.
Amen. Our reading is from the Psalm 52. It's the Psalm for today. Let's hear the word of God as we come to the throne of grace. Why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth continually. The tongue deviseth mischiefs like a sharp razor working deceitfully. Thou lovest evil more than good, and lying rather than to speak righteousness, Selah. Thou lovest all devouring words, O thou deceitful tongue. God shall likewise destroy thee forever. He shall take thee away and pluck thee out of thy dwelling place and root thee out of the land of the living, Selah. The righteous also shall see and fear and shall laugh at him. Lo, this is the man that made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches, and strengthened himself in his wickedness. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I will praise thee forever, because thou hast done it. And I will wait on thy name, for it is good before thy saints. Amen. May God bless his word to all of our hearts for Jesus' sake. As always, in our approach to prayer, we have things that we want to keep in mind. And we do remember our hospitals, all that they're facing in these days. We remember the church. We want you to remember the work of God here during lockdown especially. We think of the situation of COVID-19 in Manaus in Brazil and other parts of Brazil. And Robin Miller, who attends this house of God, he went into hospital yesterday and this morning was scheduled for an operation. So we are thinking very, very especially of him. Good to be able to see the Sunday school this morning and the lessons that were being taught. Think of Wesley and this little craft just to remind the children about seeing themselves. And I want to thank Ryan for the memory verse and for our sister Elaine, who brought the story. And there's a cake I think everybody had their eye on. It looks delicious. Well, we come to pray just now and seek the Lord together. Lord, our gracious Father, we endeavor by your grace to bring ourselves before thee, before thy holy and majestic presence. Thou art God, infinite and eternal, sitting upon the throne of glory. Thou art the God who stretches from eternity to eternity, from everlasting to everlasting. Thou art God, the God who had no beginning and will have no end. Thou art the God who created the heavens and the earth and all things that are therein. The God who has his plans and purposes in this world that will be fulfilled. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And what thou hast declared in your book will come to pass right down to the very last part of prophecy. And Lord, we come to thee, a needy people, seeking after your righteousness, seeking after your glory, praying earnestly for your presence to attend this service, that we might sense and know and even feel in our hearts today that God Almighty is with us as we worship him in this service. We come upon redemption ground. We plead the merits of the blood. We pray that thou wilt accept us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember every individual who is sitting at home today listening to this service. Some, they're on their own. Others are gathering as families. Maybe couples together sitting there at the screen. But very much part of what is happening here in this service today. We thank thee that we have the Lord with us. And we thank thee that even in the opening hymn, the faithfulness of God has been proclaimed. We can say from the depths of our heart, great is thy faithfulness, O God, to me. Morning by morning, it is so. We thank thee for the faithful God that we met this morning when we rose from our beds. And we met with him in the word and in the place of prayer. We thank thee for the faithful God who visited with us in the early season of prayer, as we came to spread the needs of this day and, in fact, the whole work of God and other things at thy feet. We thank thee for a praying people. The people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And Lord, we can only know thee as we spend time with thee. We can only know other people as we spend time with them. And this is so with our God in glory. We thank thee for the opportunities to serve the Lord in this house already today, in the Sunday school and in the Bible class, and those things that were taught. As your word has been proclaimed to the youth and the children of this congregation and further afield, we pray that thy word will be a blessing, it will be a comfort, that those who have listened already will be edified, will be challenged by your word, and where things need to be put right, Lord, may grace be given. And for those that know not Christ, may salvation be bestowed. And Lord, we thank thee for the opportunities this morning to preach in Pakistan on two occasions. And we believe in the power of your word. And Lord, we seek your blessing upon it. But we come to this time and our need is great. Tabernacle with us. Bless Robin as he has gone through the surgery this morning. We pray for a speedy recovery. Pray for our brother, Dr. Wilson, who has been so unwell in these days, that thou wilt be with him, and may they get to the bottom of the problem and be able to diagnose whatever treatment is necessary. We remember our brother Willie Buick today. We thank thee that there has been a measure of recovery, and we just pray that thou wilt continue to touch thy child. We think of the prayer list and all the names that are there, known to thee one by one. We're glad that we can come continually to hand them over to the Lord. Remember the sorrowing. We think of the Cook family. We think of the Briggs family. Standing somewhere in this shadow, may they find a Savior to comfort and to strengthen them in their time of grief. We've heard of other tragic news coming through this weekend. And Lord, you know all the circumstances and you know those that are in deep sorrow today. We commend them to the God of grace, that thou will be with them. Lord, continue with us now. Pour out the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. I bid you welcome to the service in the Savior's name. You might be looking through the media of sermon audio, Facebook or YouTube as it is now. But whatever way you're tuning in, we're glad to have you, whether you're part of Hebron's congregation or the extended church family, you're listening in today, various parts of the world. Thank you. And if you are from other parts, it's always good to know where you're from. You can send us a message. You can put it up if you're on Facebook, where you're tuning in from. And we will be remembering you in prayer. Now, tonight is a very special night. It's family night service at 7 o'clock. And we have the special testimonies of Hubert and Barbara Larravee. They're members of this congregation, though they live in Connecticut in the United States of America. So we're looking forward to joining up with them. Will you pray that all the technical things that are necessary will come together? And as they come into this service by Skype this evening live, that the technology will work, but also that they will be helped in the giving of their testimonies. We also have Luci Boangio from Romania, and he will be singing at the service tonight, and these are recordings that he has sent me this week, and I know that there will be a blessing. Can I make an appeal to the people of God? You love the Lord. If you love the Lord, you'll love all the things about God. You will love his word, you will love his house, you will love his throne, and we're coming to the throne collectively at 6 o'clock, and that will be by Zoom. Will you tune in with us tonight and pray with us? We certainly need prayer in these days of lockdown. And that's just the wee photograph that we showed you of Hubert and Barbara, taken on the occasion, of course, when they got their vaccine. Now, Monday night, this Monday night, tomorrow evening, is the Sunday School Teachers' Prayer Meeting. We have been able to have these prayer meetings off the church on Zoom, and it's the same connection, it's the same link. Can I say to our Sunday School teachers, this prayer meeting is for you tomorrow night, and you can get that link as you have for the Thursday night and the Sunday prayer meetings on the announcement group. And that's at 8 o'clock tomorrow evening. Tuesday night is Youth Challenge at 7, going out on the Hebron Facebook page. Thursday night is the Midweek Service, 8 p.m., going out on Sermon Audio, Facebook and YouTube, and then as a church family getting before the Lord on Zoom. Friday night is Youth Fellowship, 8 o'clock on Zoom, and the testimony on Friday night is from one of our elders, our brother Mervyn Storey. Pray for him as he continues to recover from COVID, that the Lord will help him and bless him and fill him as he speaks to the young people. Next Lord's Day, the prayer meeting, 8 o'clock on Zoom. Sunday School, 10:30 on our Facebook. Bible class, 10:30 on Zoom. Mervyn is dealing with the disciples, and he comes to Thomas, doubter or determined. Remember the worship service at 12 noon and the gospel meeting at 7. We have been able to secure a different preacher next Sunday night. I'll be here to lead, but Reverend Tom Laverty is coming to preach the word. We hope that coming here and still having an active ministry will be an encouragement to him. The prayer meeting will be beforehand at 6 through to 6:30. Again, thank you for your tithes and your offerings that sustains the work of God here in this house. You've been sending them in so faithfully. We want to thank you in the Lord's great name. We've also been amazed to hear of missionary gifts that have come in, great and small, £50, £100, three different £100 gifts come in, £200, £500, and a gift of £3,000 for various missionary causes, including Brazil, India, Pakistan, Romania, Uganda, and Spain. I think these are all the announcements that need to be made. We're going to listen to another pre-recording of the Hebron congregation singing together 529, Thy works, not mine, O Christ. think we miss that, don't we? You see that sea of head coverings and people in the house of God. I look out and I just see the pews today. Well, I see Melanie and I see Diane. And I see Clifford and Samuel and Paul's up there in the media center. Long for the day when this can happen again or people are back in God's house. We're certainly praying to that end. Our presbytery is aiming towards that. And we can get our people back safely. And you do miss, don't always like to be disturbed, but you do miss those wee cries of children being in the church building. And it was just lovely to see that and to hear it again. We do remember the ministry here at Hebron, and we continue to pray for it and opportunities and all these things that we put up by prayer requests to you, the suffering and the need for God's intervention in these days, and all the sick of the congregation, these names are upon us. And just to mention again, the training institute that has now been started as a 2-year course. It says there we've accepted 19 students since this was typed up. I think that has gone to 22. So they are from Kenya, mostly, Uganda, Guinea, and the Philippines. And we tried yesterday to have a Zoom call with the students and also some of the lecturers. And this is how it was shaping up for us. We had about 16 of them, so that was amazing, really, to get their technology working. In some of these countries, the internet's not good. But we were able to get about 16 of them in, and some of the lecturers as well. And we ask you to continue to pray for Brazil, the city of Manaus, with all its need, the distribution of the aid that is being given, and also that which we have done over in Eastern Europe, in Romania, the distribution of food, particularly to this particular Roma community who received help just in recent days. Yesterday, I had the opportunity to preach in Pakistan, and it was just lovely here in this building to hear some of the congregation stand up and read the passage of Scripture in Urdu that I was going to speak upon. So this was the congregation. And the kids got something, just a little something after the meeting, and that picture was sent to me. And then this was today, preaching this morning. I had two opportunities. One was at 9:30 this morning, but the other one was just before this service, so I have no photographs yet of it. But this was just a little bit earlier, and in the middle part of that slide you see the language, the Bible in Urdu, and some of the congregation that gathered. Maybe tonight we'll be able to include a slide or two from earlier. Lovely time just before this service. First time actually preaching in Freest Church, and there was a man who did the interpreting and did it fairly well from what I could tell. The school ministry continues in Pakistan and children are being educated. We're glad about that. On Thursday night we asked our congregation to pray for Alejandro and the ministry there in Corticas Nuevas, and they have in recent days started to put out questions and answers by Dr. Alan Kern, so they have done a translation of this. He is shown, but there's an over voice in Spanish. We've asked you also to pray. We're in negotiation at the moment to get a new Bible bookshop in the town of Kitale in Kenya. And so that's ongoing at the present time, moving from a small kiosk to a shop again. And then just to maybe add one other little country for your prayers, and that's the Philippines. One of the men who has applied to be part of our course is a man by the name of the Reverend Ebenezer Nombre. And he has been a pastor for 30 years. He's actually the principal of a small Bible college as well. There's a few students in it. But recently, there was an earthquake in his area. His church building was damaged. And due to the earthquake and also COVID-19, things have been extremely difficult for these people. And this man and his little congregation have done what they could. to try and get aid out to the church people and also to the community in their area. And this is them, I think they're just bowing in prayer to give thanks for food before it is eaten. As a mission board, in the will of God, we hope to send out something to help with the repair of the church building, and also from our emergency aid fund, there's a little bit of money left there to give a contribution. But now we come to the Word of God, and we're turning to the Gospel of Mark, Mark's Gospel, and the chapter 1, where we are doing our study in these Lord's days. We come to message 14. At the end of this chapter, we read about a leper that met the Savior, and this is what I want to draw your attention to today. Reading from verse 40, we'll just read to the end of the chapter because it deals with the story in the history of Christ here in the early part of his ministry. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand, and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, See, thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But he went out, and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in a desert, in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. Amen. Let's bow in prayer. Let's seek the face of God on behalf of the ministry of the Word. As always, we look to Thee, Lord, in the Scriptures. It's a spiritual book. It is spiritually discerned. We do not have the capacity to understand it by ourselves. If we tried, we would fail. We would go wrong. But Thou hast given to us a teacher. Thou hast given the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. And we seek His ministry now. We pray that He will apply that which we have read, and that He will bless that which will be spoken upon this passage. We pray that the people sitting at home will know God's anointing, and that this preacher will likewise know the anointing of God today in the proclamation of divine truth. We pray that You will speak to our hearts. Lord, You know what's coming in this message. Direct our way. Help us to bring the word that You've given. And Lord, we pray that there will be a receiving of that word, that it will be a blessing for Jesus' sake. Amen. And so the title of the message, as we look at Mark chapter 1 and these last verses, and particularly verse 40 to 42, is Christ's love for and liberation of the leper. Here is another healing miracle setting forth the power, the love, the compassion, and the kindness of Christ. He was interested in those who suffered much with their health and with bodily disorder. He reached out in loving kindness to help and alleviate the afflicted. Many there were in the days of his flesh who received that healing touch, or that command of power that brought strength and hope in the midst of distress. Here's a leper whose path, in the infinite wisdom and the sovereign decree of Almighty God, crossed with that of the dear Savior. And we praise God for that day. In the early part of our Savior's ministry, when this poor leper met him, the Christ of God, the one who is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals. It was a day never to be forgotten. Oh no, not in the mind and the heart of this man who received so much from Christ that day, the Lord who spoke the word. And immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. Every part of the history of Christ on earth has something to teach us. In fact, many things to show us and to give us instruction in. You cannot read about any instance in the life and the ministry of Christ without learning some valuable truths. We are not only brought to observe the historical facts and information, and that, of course, is here in the gospel narrative, but we are put into the school of learning to be instructed and edified. There are applications. When you read the history, when you read the information, there are applications to make to your heart and mind. There are instructions to teach us more about the person and the work of Christ. The story of the healing of this leper has much to teach us. There's even a lesson as you go to the end of the story about obedience. Listening to the commands of Christ, adhering to his instructions. This man evidently did not, and it became a hindrance to the ministry of Christ. And we ought to learn from that. As you think about what happens here, you could learn how not to do the work of God. Here's a man that was given instructions from the Lord, but he didn't carry them out. He went and did his own thing. Even though he had good intentions, he was well-meaning, he went and did his own thing. The very thing that Jesus told him not to do, and it hindered the work for a time. Learn from it. What I want to emphasize with you is the miracle itself and the information that is given to us in these few verses from verse 40 to 42. As I read this account, I could see written all over it, the title of this message, Christ's love for and liberation of the leper. I may be speaking to someone just now and you're suffering in some way, not with leprosy, but maybe you are suffering with some other sickness in your life. Some kind of trouble and affliction has beset you in life's journey. I can be pretty certain that I'm not just talking to someone, but in all likelihood, I am speaking to many in the plural, quite a few today, and this is your lot at this moment. We can all say it's not an easy road that we're traveling to heaven, for many are the thorns on the way. It's good to remind ourselves about the loving compassion of Christ, who is with us in this journey, a Savior who cares for us in every situation, but especially in the dark providences of life. So that's what I want you to see in our approach to this message. Christ's love for and liberation of the leper. And I want you to notice, first of all, the malady he suffered with. Because here we're told that he's a leper. Leprosy was one of the horrific diseases of the ancient world. The leprosy, we are told, begins as small red spots on the skin. Before long, those spots get bigger and they start to turn white with a shiny or scaly appearance. The spots soon spread over the body and the hair begins to fall out. First of all, from the head and then even the eyebrows. As things get worse, fingernails and toenails become loose and they start to rot and eventually fall off. Then the joints of the fingers and the toes begin to rot and they fall off piece by piece. Gums begin to shrink and they can't hold the teeth any longer. And so each tooth is lost. And leprosy just keeps eating away and away at the face, until the nose, the palate, and even the eyes rot. And the leper eventually dies. That's what happens. A horrific disease. As horrible as the physical sufferings were, the worst part, perhaps, of having leprosy might have been the way that people treated the leper. In the Old Testament, God said when there were lepers among the people of Israel, they should be carefully quarantined and examined. We read about this in Leviticus 13 and 14. Lepers had to dress like people who were in mourning for the dead, because they were considered to be the living dead. They had to warn the people around them by crying out, unclean, unclean, when people came near to them. And this was not particularly because leprosy was highly contagious. It was because God used this loathsome disease as a striking example of sin and the effects that sin has upon men. People of the Savior's day in the New Testament, they went further than what the Old Testament told them to. Back then, they thought two things about the leper. You are the walking dead, and you deserve this, because it's the punishment of God. But my friends, Jewish custom said that you should not even greet a leper. Custom said that you had to stay 6 feet away from the leper. I was thinking about the 6 feet, thinking about the 2 meters, and that's the kind of social distancing all these centuries later that's required for our present circumstances of coronavirus. And this was happening back here in Bible days. And so here's a man in Mark chapter 1 who has a serious problem. Leprosy covered his body. He was like the walking dead. He was an outcast. He was unclean. He was shunned. He was shut out. He was in absolute misery. And he was facing death. Now, you and I may not have leprosy. Not in this country. Today, leprosy afflicts 15 million people across the world, mostly in developing countries, especially in Brazil. And we know something about the leprosy in Brazil because of our missionary there, Dr. Bill Woods, who has labored for over 50 years there. And also in India and Indonesia. Those are the three main countries. In fact, more than half of new cases of leprosy are diagnosed in India. Other countries affected include Bangladesh, the Congo, Ethiopia, Nigeria, and Nepal. And so in Northern Ireland and the Western world, we're not really afflicted with this awful disease of leprosy. We have many other diseases, though, that bring distress and grief. Think of cancer. Cancer that has made its way into the lives of so many of our people, many of them that we know. We think of heart disease. We think of what's happening now in this pandemic, COVID-19, and all the suffering that has been caused. It's real. Can't understand those who somehow can dismiss what's happening today. And they tell us that this virus is not real. My dear friends, we have seen it. We have felt it in our lives. We know our friends in this church as well who have suffered and are still suffering today with long COVID. We know our friends who have succumbed to this virus and they have died. I tell you, it is real. It's happening. There's also the thought of sin here. For leprosy and sin have much in common, and God uses it to picture this greater spiritual problem of man that affects every part of his being. And you want to learn the lessons in passing. Sin is a loathsome spiritual disease. It often begins small, but like leprosy, it spreads, and quite often it spreads very quickly. until it has under its control the person. And we know of so many people, and they're under the control of sin today, and they cannot break free from sin. Sin has a grip upon their lives. Sin also shuts men out. It makes them an outcast in so many ways, but particularly it makes them an outcast from God. It shuts them out of the presence of God now on the earth and will shut them out forever in eternity from the presence of God. It renders a man unclean. Sin makes you unclean in God's sight. And one day, my friends, it will end in death. Sin, when it is finished, it bringeth forth death. That's the end result. And you will die physically. You will die eternally. For you will go to the place of the second death, which is the lake of fire forevermore. And you need to know this today. If you're listening into this service and you're not a Christian, you're not saved with the grace of God, you need to see that there is an awful malady, an awful disease here that you are suffering with. And it is the disease of sin. And that sin is destroying your life. And that sin will bring you down to the depths of hell forevermore and will separate you from God and all that is good for the countless ages of eternity. Yes, this man suffered with an awful malady. He was a leper. But I want you to notice, secondly, the strategy that he showed. It says here, there came a leper. As I was pondering over the words of the text here and looking at it for this message today, I was just greatly struck by the word came. This is what this man did. He came. It seems from the account before us that the leper came himself. He came willingly. He came voluntarily to Christ. Perhaps he had heard about the Lord. You remember what we read back there in verse 28, that the Savior's fame had spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. We have thought about the city all being gathered together at the door where the Lord had his lodgings, and how the Lord healed many that were sick of divers diseases. Don't you think that the news had reached the ears of this man? Hadn't he heard about the miracle working Christ, what the Savior was able to do? Had not some distressed individual, or even a friend, maybe some fellow leper who had been to Jesus, brought him news? I met a man. You can just imagine what someone who had been to Christ and received from him a wonderful healing. I met a man, and he restored me in health. I visited the lodgings of this man in Capernaum. Oh, there were many that day queued up outside the door needing his help. I besought him earnestly that he might just touch me or speak the word. And he did. He touched me. He spoke the word. And I was made whole. Wouldn't that man have directed his way to the Savior? Wouldn't he have told this leper about the one who was able to cure him? And as I pondered this thought, it spoke loudly to me. Indeed, I thought, here is my responsibility. Here is your responsibility. Having freely received, we should freely give out the news of the Savior and tell others who are afflicted by sin. We should be saying, like the woman of Samaria, in John chapter 4, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And when we have been healed of our spiritual diseases, when we have had the loathsome leprosy of sin removed, when we have been made whole and cleansed, should we not stand, as it were, on the very housetop and proclaim to others about Christ? Let me tell you, Jesus, the mighty to save. This leper came. And he came probably because someone had told him about the Lord. And he came, and so must we, with all our burden, with all our pain, with all our distresses, with all our sicknesses, with all our worries and anxieties, with all our depression and discouragement. We must come to Jesus. We must seek him out. We must get to his feet. This is where to come, dear suffering child of God. Run to Christ with all haste. Look away to the blessed Redeemer. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And then I want you to notice in the third place the entreaty he made. You notice the phrase here, beseeching him. This man came, this leper came, and he came beseeching the Lord Jesus Christ. Here is real earnestness. There's fervency. There is passion. There is desire. He is imploring the Lord. He is begging the Lord for intervention in his life. Oh, how cold and dry and careless and unfeeling our prayers can be. We come to the throne of heavenly grace so often with the same old repetitive prayers that we say without meaning. We probably don't even make it to the throne room. You ever think about that? We don't even get into the presence of God. We don't even get to appear before the throne. I don't think that we get anywhere near the Lord when our prayers are lukewarm and repetitious. The same old lines that fall from our lips. And there's no heart and soul in that prayer at all. Oh God, have mercy upon us. God, deliver us. God, send a breath of revival that will stir our hearts. If there's one place that we need to be dealt with more than any, it is likely to be in the place of prayer. Got to see that today. Got to admit that today. This man came beseeching the Lord. That means he came begging. He came invoking. That's what the word beseeching means. There's a great sense of need and urgency and earnestness here. And you know, my friends, this is the only kind of praying that has power with God. We are reminded that it is the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man that availeth much. It is the beloved John who reminds us in 1 John 5:14 that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us, and we know that he hear us whatsoever we ask. We know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. That's truly a wonderful promise, and that's a great encouragement. And we've read it often. We've pondered the words. We've been blessed by it. We've taken it to the Lord. We've pleaded it with the Lord. But James reminds us that true prayer, prayer that accomplishes, prayer that brings the answer, prayer that sees mighty answers and wonderful things done, prayer that availeth much, must be fervent, must be burning. This little phrase, this term, effectual prayer, is actually translated from one Greek word, a single Greek word. And the Greek word is energeo. You know, you don't need to be that smart or intellectual or conversant with the Greek language to understand something of what this word means. Because we get our English word energy from it, or energetic from it. And it conveys the idea of energizing, similar to that of an electrical current that brings energy to a circuit. And when applied to the passage in James, it suggests that that kind of prayer is passionate, it is heartfelt, it is heated, it's persistent, and that's the opposite to lethargic, repetitious, superficial, mundane prayers which so often characterize our prayer life. And I'm speaking about myself here. I'm looking into my heart here. And I suggest that you do likewise when we consider our prayer life just now. Passionate prayer is not whipping up the emotions. That's the flesh. Passionate prayer is not shouting at God. I'm not saying that we cannot raise our voices at times and cry to Him, whether a person has the natural character of praying with a soft voice, or somebody has the natural characteristic of praying with a loud voice. Is not material, but shouting to God does not mean passion. It doesn't mean we're going to get His attention. God's not deaf in any way. Oh, my dear friends, passionate prayer is not putting on some show or some act. Rather, it expresses an intense, sincere confidence in God, putting it into language that we understand. It is praying with everything that we've got. Praying with the whole man. It is praying with all the heart. William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, who knew something about this kind of praying, once said, "You must pray with your might." That does not mean saying your prayers or sitting gazing about in church or chapel with eyes wide open while someone else says them for you. It means fervent, effectual, untiring wrestling with God. It means that grappling with omnipotence, that clinging to Him, following Him about, so to speak, day and night, as the widow did to the unjust judge, with agonizing pleadings and arguments and entreaties, until the answer comes and the end is gained. This kind of prayer, be sure, the devil and the world and your own indolent, unbelieving nature will oppose. They will pour water on this flame. They will ply you with suggestions and difficulties. They will ask you how you can expect that the plans and purposes and feelings of God can be altered by your prayers. They will talk about impossibilities and predict failures. But if you mean to succeed, you must shut your ears and your eyes to all but what God has said, and hold Him to His own word. And you cannot do this in any sleepy mood. You cannot be a prevailing Israel unless you wrestle as Jacob wrestled, regardless of time or else. Save obtaining the blessing sought. That is, you must pray with your might. And I think that this leper who came to Jesus, he prayed just like that. He came beseeching Christ. Oh, dear friend in Christ, learn to pray like this. The entreaty that he made, beseeching Him. Notice fourthly, the humility that he displayed. Kneeling down to Him, he falls at His feet. The word here in the original means to fall on the knee. And I can just picture the scene. This leper with his loathsome disease, with a great burden in his heart, needing help, probably having heard about the Lord Jesus Christ from some other person who had been healed, or some friend or family member that told him, here he comes. And with great earnestness, he beseeches the Lord, but he falls there in humility at the feet of the Lord, knowing how dreadful this disease was. It does not surprise us that the leper was so desperate in his approach to Christ. One of my favorite hymns on the subject of prayer was written over 200 years ago by John Newton. "Approach, my soul, the mercy seat, where Jesus answers prayer, there humbly fall before His feet, for none can perish there." And it's all we can do, brethren and sisters, just to fall at His feet. It's the place of humility. It is the position of need. There He is on His knees with all His desire. Kneeling is the position of beseeching. It's the position of great need. and we see those in the scripture kneeling in prayer. It's like coming to a king, isn't it? You kneel before the king. We're coming to the King of Kings, and with humility of heart and our beseeching, we just fall at his feet. Time is almost away, but just let me round up by throwing out a few points to you in closing. There's the certainty he felt. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. He knew this in his heart. He believed it in his soul. He believed that the Lord Jesus Christ could speak the word, or he could put his hand upon him and he would be healed. He believed that. And if it was the will of Christ to do that, he would receive it. If thou wilt. And we should come to the place of prayer with great certainty in our heart, knowing that if it's God's will, it shall be done. And then there is the pity he received. For it says, and Jesus moved with compassion. Isn't that a beautiful word? Oh, the wonderful compassion of our dear Savior. We have preached on his compassion in recent days, so I don't need to develop this thought. But our blessed Lord Jesus Christ, when he was here upon the earth in the flesh, in his dealing with others, especially those that were in need, I tell you, he had a heart of pity. He had a heart of love. He had a heart of concern. It was one of compassion. How many times we read about Jesus being moved with compassion. And this is the compassion that the leper felt and received of Christ. And so will you and I, as we come with all our burden, with all our need, with all those things that weigh us down today, whether it's a physical disease like leprosy that this man had, whether it's some other burden that we're carrying, some other sorrow and grief that is in our heart. Praise God, when we come in this fashion to Christ and we fall at his feet beseeching him, we will receive compassion as well. Jesus will treat us with great pity and loving kindness. And then just those other couple of verses, 41 and 42, we have the remedy that he obtained. Jesus moved with compassion, he put forth his hand, he touched him, he saith unto him, I will be thou clean. The leper says, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Jesus says, I will be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. I think as you read these words, you can say this intervention of Christ in his life, this remedy that he received, it was powerful. Very powerful. Changed this man's life. He was never the same again. Christ stepped in, made all things new. Very, very powerful. The Lord can do that for us. And it was not only very powerful, it was prompt. I love that word, immediately. As soon as the Lord had spoken the word, I will! Immediately this man was made whole. And the Lord can give to us immediate answers. We don't have to wait. There'll not be a delay. Oh, sometimes there is, but very often, more than often, the Lord just steps in and he does it immediately. And so I trust that the Lord will bless his word to your heart today and use something that has been said, something here that's been preached from God's word to help you, to encourage you, to strengthen you. I've been encouraged. I've been blessed in my study for this message. So many challenges there. I trust that you felt that burden in your heart also. May God go with you on this Sabbath and continue to apply his word to your heart. Heavenly Father, we give thanks today for divine truth. We thank thee for this leper that came to Jesus all these years ago. We praise thee for the compassion that you showed upon him as he came and fell at your feet and besought you. Lord, teach us to pray like that. Give us earnestness. Give us fire in our souls when we pray. Give us real sincerity as we seek after Christ. As we come, Lord, to present our needs and the burdens that we carry to thee. Lord, help us to be like this man that we read about here in Mark chapter 1. Bless our people. You know those that need your touch today, those that are suffering. Lord, be with them. And help us through this Sabbath to glorify God in all things that we do. There's family night tonight, Hubert and Barbara as they testify. Lucci's ministry and song. The hymns that will be sung tonight also. Lord, just take it all. Use it for your glory to bring honor to Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Our sisters will play the hymn, Jesus, Lover of My Soul. In our hymn book, if you are opening your hymn book at home, it's 196. This beautiful hymn, Jesus, Lover of My Soul, let me to thy bosom fly. While the nearer waters roll, while the tempest still is high, hide me, O my Savior, hide, till the storms of life is past. Safe into the haven guide, O receive my soul at last. May God bless you as you listen to the music and as you read the words. May he apply the truths to your heart and mind. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for Jesus, the lover of my soul. We thank thee for his compassion towards us. And Lord, as we seek to continue through this day, may we do so with the Lord, knowing his abiding presence in our homes. Keep us, Lord. Hide us in these days. Keep your hand of protection upon our people. And bless us tonight at family night. And visit us, Lord, with the spirit of revival and do us good for Jesus' sake. Amen. I want to thank you for worshiping with us here in Hebron today. May the Lord bless you and your families this afternoon. Amen.